And did you hear on my mind every hour of the day without your sweet inspiration?
Good evening, everyone. It's Tuesday night. It's 7 p.m. on the West Coast, which means it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 Media. This is Tammy Jackson, and I'm welcoming you to 60 minutes of sweet conservative inspiration. If you'd like to do so, you can interact with comments and questions on Twitter during the show. Go ahead and follow me at Tammy J. That's T-A-M-I-J. Simplest name almost. I thought it was the simplest name on Twitter until tonight's guest. My first guest tonight is Autry Pruitt. Autry Pruitt is a writer, radio host, political advocate, and thought leader who believes in limited government and a free market. Autry is a Black American from the Midwest who believes that the Democratic Party has sold out African Americans. His political life is dedicated to fostering a relationship between traditional and non-traditional conservatives and removing the Democratic Party's stranglehold on the African American vote. Autry Pruitt, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I am glad to be on board with you today.
It's awesome, and I'm always happy to meet a fellow American that loves the founders, our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence. In other words, you're a conservative. You believe those first principles. You dedicated your life to this stuff. But the question I have for you now, because everybody, whatever their background, comes to this in a different way, but how did you become a conservative? And I mentioned before we came on air that I have a lot of Black friends who pretty much they laugh and talk about the epiphany when they realize that they were actually conservatives and most likely Republicans, not liberal Democrats. How did you come to that realization? Did your parents espouse a conservative worldview? What was it, Autry?
No. Well, I came to the conclusion in two ways. I'll try to be quick about it. There's a long version, a short version. I'll try to give you the shorter of the long version. The first way I came about it was this. I have a lot of concern for the Black community. I've always have. Racial injustice, things that I have seen, I've experienced, and I've witnessed, history, etc. And so for the longest time, I was always conflicted between the sort of ideology of the right and left. And what happened to me was an epiphany as I was starting to read through the founding documents. Ironically enough, and individuals who wrote the founding documents who, in some cases, a lot of hypocrisy, privately a lot of them, I believe, actually did support slavery, but because of them being the people of the times, they had slaves, etc. And what occurred to me was that everything that oppressed African Americans wasn't necessarily a ban of white individuals getting together, wasn't necessarily instituted by always evil white people, but what oppressed African Americans literally was government. And as I begin to walk on my journey towards conservatism, I realized that when it came to, let's start with for African Americans, now for Indian Americans it'd be different, but for African Americans, the original sin for a lot of Americans is slavery, right? That's America's big, great original sin that everybody likes to talk about.
Of course.
But when I look at that, what I realized was that slavery was beginning to die away, not only in the United States, but across the world, because it couldn't be maintained. And what occurred was that people were going to use, for instance, the Confederate South, the mechanisms of government to keep it in place, to force it to stay in place. In other words, the trajectory of a free people, of a free society, would be to shed away their slaves. That's the trajectory of free people. because eventually you have to. That's why I always say, I wrote an article recently about this in the Daily Caller, that the very foundations, ironically enough, to end slavery weren't necessarily found in the Constitution, but they were found in our principal document, which is the Declaration of Independence. You know, all men are created equal.
Yes.
And because that was such an enshrined, it's actually pretty unique, Tammy, because that was such an enshrined phrase, that we're all created equal, that phrase was so powerful that even elements within the Constitution that went against those first principles couldn't stand. That's why prohibition didn't work. That's why health care. We're having such a hard time with nationalized health care. And the reason is because even if the Supreme Court, even if you can find a line for it in the Constitution, it still goes against the principles of the founding. It goes against the Declaration of Independence from which the Constitution was born. That's why we have such a hard time with our tax system. Yes, the income tax is constitutional with the 16th Amendment. But it actually is, it goes against the principles. The idea that government should have a right to your money first goes against the principles. Anyway, I digress. I'm getting off on a tangent.
That's okay. So, I like it. It's a good tangent.
To finish that up, so what happened was this. I realized that when I looked at the 50s and 60s, and I talked to my grandmother, she told me, she said, yes, there were some evil, racist white people that did horrible things. But she said, I knew a lot of white people that owned a diner or that owned a shop that wanted to let me shop there, but they couldn't let me shop there because the sheriff wouldn't protect them. Guess what? That was government. That was government coming in saying, if you don't let Emma White, who was my grandmother, if you don't let Emma in to protect, if you don't let Emma into your, if you let Emma into your store, we won't protect, excuse me, your property rights. So when I begin to study this, I begin to realize that oppression, slavery, racism naturally falls away with the people, but government moves in to keep the mechanisms there. And so I figured out that the real way for any people to be free is there to be as little government as possible.
It's very interesting when you take people, just people, one-on-one. I believe that the principles are written in our hearts as a woman of faith that are there, that we understand that, yes, those principles are so true. We are created, and I call people the height of God's creation. Everybody is intrinsically valuable and deserving of respect. They need to understand their true value. So, you know, then we have something like the Democratic Party that until... I know so many people that until they saw something like Dinesh D'Souza's latest movie, they had no idea that the Democratic Party was the party of the Klan, was the party of slavery, etc., and the Republican Party was not. Now, as you said, it was clearly was not perfect, but I take some consolation in the fact that those early abolitionists were mostly people that were people of faith, that understood the importance of the individual.
And one of the things I have to tell people, and it's a hard place to come to, because chattel slavery, particularly American chattel slavery, was such a brutal system, and it's a hard place to come to. But once you actually begin to read the documents and read the history, you will actually find out that despite a lot of these men failing in an area that they shouldn't have failed in, it wasn't an easy go. There was a wrestle with it. And there was a fight with it from the very founding about slavery.
Right.
And so from the very founding of the country. And then you have to move beyond that. At some point, you've got to... I understand it hurts. I understand it carries a lot of pain. I understand some of the vestiges. I'm one of those people that I do believe after 150, 200 years of oppression, because you've seen it in other countries, you can still see vestiges of that. But what you have to do as a community is bind yourself together and move forward, because you cannot change the past. There's nothing we can do about it.
Right.
It sucks. It's horrible. You can't even go. You got to move past that. You got to look towards that future. And so what anchored me with conservatism, what finished my journey there, was people always said, you know, made fun of Republicans or made fun of conservatives or even libertarians. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, everybody can't do that. And then I remember a lesson. I grew up in church, simple lesson, that said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this lesson, and I don't want to get religious on people because I know people get nervous.
But you can do it. It's okay. Since I'm a Christian gal, it's good with me.
That's great. This lesson, I remember this very distinctly. Growing up in a black church where we talked about racism, we talked about almost a Jeremiah Wright style of church that you saw with Obama. I grew up in that kind of church. But one of the things I remember was that it was never qualified. The preacher never said, the pastor never taught, the Sunday school teacher never taught, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, except for the white guy over there, or the white girl over there, or this white institution, or this system. We were always taught it may be a little bit harder, it may be rougher, but because of your allegiance to Christ, because of your faith, and because you are executing the will of God in your life, then you can move forward. It may be hard, it may be tough, but you can do all things. That's what we were taught. And so now when I turn to the present day, and I explain this to people, I say that's why I ended up a conservative. I didn't end it up because of abortion and homosexuality and transgender. That's not all of that stuff I can talk about. I can give you my reasons for my beliefs, but all that stuff is immaterial. The reason why I ended up a conservative was because I saw my people that I grew up with, fellow African Americans, hurting. And the system that they were in was not working. And the system that they were in wasn't working because government was keeping them oppressed. And then, on top of that, you had a left-side party telling them the exact opposite of what faith teaches us.
Yes.
That's the problem. So I tell black people all the time, I don't want to get into discussion with you about even health care, homosexuality. I don't want to get into any of that right now. I want to start with the principle.
Right.
If you believe that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Now, if you don't believe that, we have to set that to a side and have that. That's a different discussion. But 98% of African Americans, even those that don't attend church, believe in God as Christ. So by you believing in that, you know, that the same mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, by your very definition of believing that, 98% of black people, that eradicates left brain thinking.
Wow.
Immediately.
Yep.
That's where you have to start. And
yes,
that's the common ground. Now, we can get in particulars. We can talk about language that's used. We can talk about homosexuality. I can start to get into particulars. But let's accept first the premise that I can do all things through Christ. If we accept that premise, it changes your entire political outlook.
Yes,
almost instantly.
And I would tell you, Autry, a friend of mine is Alan Keyes, and I'll never forget an article I read, an interview of him in the 90s, and he was talking about the black family, and he said, you know, the black family was actually in very good shape even when there was horrible racism in this country, for instance, in the 40s, the 50s, whatever, because they were cohesive and the Christianity was active in their lives, and they believed in the family. The family was cohesive. You had a mother and father in the home. The kids were respectful. They mostly went to church and they got that Bible teaching, and the church was telling them to do the right thing and work hard and so forth. So society was not real good yet, but yet the black family was cohesive, and it wasn't until Johnson's Great Society that things started going south when the Democrats started taking over and rewarding pregnancy out of wedlock, et cetera, when the government stepped in, it started tearing the black family apart, and that's when it really started going downhill. And I see that where there's no fathers in the home, et cetera. Man, that's a recipe for disaster.
With that, even outside of the context of race, Tammy, all problems. Let me qualify that. Both problems can be attributed to government.
Yes.
I tell people all the time, take a look at your life. Most of the time, you complain. It's always about government, right? So even if you got free health care, I know people that need food stamps, and they're like, man, government can't even give me my food stamps, right? They get it wrong. You know, I know people that go to the DMV, they stand in line. Government. So what we have to do is work together to minimize government in our lives. That's what we have to work to do together and protect property rights. And now that we're out of the stage of direct sort of this, you know, now if you're a direct racist, oh, I hate Autry because he's black and he's worth, you know, you're laughed out of the room. So don't even give those people the time of day, right? Serious people are not walking around saying
right.
that.
Exactly.
So because we're out of that time now we have to be in a situation, Tammy, we have to be in a situation now where we can say, you know what, just protect my property rights and I'm going to be okay, right? If government upholds that function, I'll be okay.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Keep the money in. I know you have a break soon. I don't know.
Well, there's so much. I think, you know, I should have had you on for the hour because I know we could both go on for an hour. This is going to be fun. When we come back, I want to talk about your book a little bit, Plain Steak and Water, Defending Donald J. Trump. And then I want to talk about a recent article that you wrote. I'll be back with author and talk show host Autry Pruitt. The Tammy Jackson Show is sponsored by Robar Guns, a true custom firearms and firearms finishing shop. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona. They're found online at robarguns.com. Let me tell you, Robar can give your worn firearm new life. They also have several custom guns that I tell you about every week. Their sniper rifle, the SR-21, their AR platform, which is the Robar Polymar 15. It's got upper and lower receivers that are polymer. It's an amazing, and the smaller size of that rifle comes in at 5 pounds, people. Let me tell you, this is an amazing shop down there in Arizona. They have the best of the best, and they have true gunsmiths. They're experts at their trade. They're known nationwide. So whether you want to give your worn firearm new life, or you want a custom pistol or rifle or shotgun, check out robarguns.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you. The Gang of 405, live on the 405media.com. Join John Grant on the West Coast, Tammy Jackson in Oregon, and Scott Jones in Texas.
There was a kid who set a fire in the middle of the street, and he asked him why he did, and he said because he felt like it, and then looked in the camera and said, screw the president.
That kid needs a whooping.
Why in the wide, wide world of sports do you let your kid run off down the street and start fires?
Because where's the parents and bad parenting,
yeah,
and it turns
exactly.
out that he grew Carey.
Well, his dad was down the street emceeing an inaugural event. Oh. Well, Drew Carey is a Gary Johnson guy, so you can bet your patootie that around the Drew Carey house, there was a lot of nasty things said about Donald Trump.
The kid needs an ass whooping, and he needs one yesterday.
Spare the rod and spoil the libertarian, I always say. The original and classic Gang of 405. Saturday mornings, live, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
This is Tammy Jackson with my guest, author and talk show host, Autry Pruitt. If you're just joining the show, Autry Pruitt is a writer, radio host, political advocate, and thought leader who believes in limited government and free market. Now, Autry, I wanted to talk just briefly because we don't have a lot of time left, so we're going to race through all this. But you've got a book that you wrote last year that people can find on the show page. It's linked there. It's titled Plain Steak and Water, Defending Donald J. Trump. In the opening of the book, it's interesting, you have a quote from Megyn Kelly that says, if they put Donald Trump in, try to put him in office. If that's what the people want, you're going to see an end to the Republican Party. It will just be over. There'll be nothing left. That's kind of interesting because now Megyn Kelly has gone from Fox News and the Republican Party is getting a chance to government, even though they're not doing a great job. But that's probably the impediment that Donald Trump has. How did you come to be a surrogate for Donald Trump?
I came through by some people I knew. I also did before. 5 years ago is when I was always interested in love politics. But 5 years ago is when I dived into it. Prior to that, I was actually in real estate. I was a real estate broker in New York City. And I had done a couple of things with the Trump Organization. But I came through Donald Trump. I didn't work with him specifically, but I came through him with other people that I had known that were setting up radio views, etc. And I think Boris Epstein was the one who saw me speak and said, "We need to have him work with us." And that's how I ended up doing that.
That's fantastic. Now, something else that's linked on the show page, which is a recent article you wrote. It's very, very good. It's titled, and it's at the Daily Caller, I believe. It's titled, Open Letter to Paul Ryan, Something Needs to Change. You begin the article, Dear Speaker Ryan, congressional leadership has proven itself incapable of the big picture, free market, limited government, and entrepreneurial thinking needed for the 21st century America. No matter the topic, whether nationalized health care, over-criminalization, immigration, or foreign policy, most of the leaders display zero commitment to our country's founding principles as outlined in the Declaration of Independence. The leader of the House of Representatives must have an ironclad understanding of those first principles. Otherwise, the legislative horizon will be riddled with failure. That's good stuff, hard-hitting stuff, Autry.
Yeah, I believe that. My issue is, let's take health care, right? Let's take health care. So my issue, although I think in the article I talked more about income tax, but let's take health care. My issue with health care is that they should have started with a white sheet of papers based off of first principles instead of starting with an eraser in Obamacare. That's the problem, is we started with Obamacare and took an eraser to it and wrote in some stuff, erase some stuff, etc. We should have started with a white sheet of paper and said, okay, Americans, whether we like it or not, it's true, Americans are addicted to government health care, Medicare, Medicaid, VA. I can't get into the details, but, you know, we like to say we don't like government health care, but we actually do. That's another horizon. So then the onus is on the Republicans is to say, okay, since we know that Americans want some form of health care, what do they really want? Well, what they really want is for those who are truly poor not to be left out with anything. And they want a safety net. That's what they want. So that's what we should start with. And I actually have an article I'm writing, Hopefully I'll get to post it somewhere soon on healthcare ideas. But that's where we need to start. And the problem is whenever the Republicans get ready to do something in Congress, they don't start with first principles. They start with a Democrat principle and then take an eraser rather than start with a white sheet of paper. And that leads me to believe that they haven't really done the in-depth thinking that's necessary beyond Ted Cruz or Rand Paul. They haven't done the in-depth thinking that's necessary. You can actually solve a lot of our problems through free market style thinking if you wanted to.
Right.
But they don't want to, or they can't.
Yes. Now, in your bio, we've got about 2.5 minutes left. Where does the time go? It goes quickly when we're talking about interesting stuff. And if you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Autry Pruitt. He's a talk show host. He's an author. He's a free market guy. Great guy. In your bio, I noticed that you were the featured new media broadcaster for 3 years at SHOT Show in Las Vegas. Love that. Love that. I'm a Second Amendment aficionado and do social media and marketing for Robar Guns in Arizona. So, but now you're back in the belly of the beast, in the beltway mm-hmm. there, and so you cannot even carry there, can you?
You can't even look at a gun. You can't even get a water gun here.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. And by the way, just to let you know, I was going to tell you, and then somebody also messaged me, you could contribute such articles if you want to the website where I'm executive editor. It's barbwire.com.
Fantastic. Okay, I should do an article for you.
Website.
Maybe I will. I
would love to have you contribute. It'd be wonderful. And lots of great people contribute over there, people like Tony Perkins and Alan Keyes and others. It's a great website. But a fellow Second Amendment guy, but when you're living in Washington, D.C. and New York City and even, I suppose, Chicago or whatever, Detroit, they don't really want you carrying a gun, even though there's all kinds of crime.
They don't. They don't. And I tell, and hopefully people can excuse me, but I tell this all the time. I say for my fellow African Americans that listen with me and interact with me, stop being stupid. African Americans wanted gun rights for the longest time,
yes.
And racist individuals, the Democrat Party, moved in to take those rights away. And so for you to line up behind Schumer and Obama and Hillary and all of these people, including, like I said, the ex-president, President Obama, to
yes.
say, oh, you should have guns, black folks, don't be stupid. Gun rights are the center to freedom. And in any study of black history, you will find that to be the case.
Yes. I call it the eye teeth. I think that's the term that Tommy Jefferson used, in fact. Oh, my goodness, the time has gone so fast. Autry's website is autrypruitt.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Autry. So it's as easy as mine, folks. Wow.
Yeah, A-U-T-R-Y. A-U-T is in Tom R-Y.
there we go. So, Autry, we've got a connect here so I can get you writing some articles for my site if you want. It's great to meet your acquaintance, and you keep fighting the good fight. I'd love to have you back on again.
Okay, thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break with Jessica Mass. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Rent-A-Computer. An agent from rentacomputer.com can save your company time and money on your next short-term need for a computer, audiovisual, or office equipment rental. Rent-A-Computer.com delivers the rental hardware your event needs to your office, trade show booth, or event venue location anywhere in the United States or Canada. Their offerings include Apple iPads, iPhones, Microsoft Surface tablets, and copiers. If you're planning your next corporate event, remember, rentacomputer.com provides a superior turnkey event rental service with one point of contact for clients both large and small. Visit rentacomputer.com or call them at 800-736-8772. That's rentacomputer.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you. Pops Radio, short for Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, with Scott Jones on the 405media.com.
Brett Baer, thanks for joining us from Washington.
Hey, great to be here.
Tom Rogan, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Cheryl Atkinson, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is Washington just totally dysfunctional? I mean, to me, this is just unprecedented, Cheryl.
These ties are so deep now, and so at least giving the appearance of corruption, I think people have come to just kind of throw up their hands and distrust nearly every official establishment body.
And your words here on our air today should be horrifying, if not motivating, for anyone who's sitting on the fence about this.
Pissed off, politically speaking, Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out. Wrestling Mayhem Show right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Welcome back. This is Tammy Jackson. I'm a little over halfway through the show, and now I'm joined by my guest, Jessica Mass. Jessica Mass is the Director of Aftercare for Operation Underground Railroad, also called OUR. It's an organization that exists to rescue children from sex trafficking. Before we get going, Jessica, two things. One of them I mentioned before we went on air. First, the first thing, however, in January of this year, I had Operation Underground Railroad Executive Vice President of Operations, Jonathan Lyons, on the show. And when I booked you, I hadn't even thought about that. It was amazing talking to John and about the work of OUR.
John's wonderful. He does such a great job with operations and running things, and it truly is an honor to work with him.
Wow. And the second thing, and this is what we had talked about before we went on air, you double majored in biblical studies and family education at Multnomah University. I live in the Portland metro area. I have friends that have attended Multnomah. I have family that attended Multnomah. It's amazing. So you lived in this area for about 8 years.
I did. I love Portland. I love Oregon. And I loved my time at Multnomah. It's such a great university, and their professors are incredible. So, yes, I love the area and truly treasured my time there.
I know. When I told you I knew all about Multnomah, you were so shocked. You said, nobody knows about Multnomah. Well, I do.
Yeah. So,
there you go. It is a fantastic university. Okay, Jessica Mass, you came on my radar because one of the publicists that pitches to me weekly gave me your name, and she wrote that with the National Day of Prayer, the nation will turn to God in prayer and meditation, and during this time of reflection, many Americans will ask, how can they live their life better to serve their Creator? Obviously, Operation Underground Railroad is doing their part to serve. If anybody hasn't heard of that organization, you can find them online at OurRescue.org. That's O-U-R Rescue, all one word, .org. And it's an amazing organization. The facts are stunning. Here are a couple facts. A $150 billion industry, human trafficking, currently enslaves a staggering 27 million people around the world. 2 million of them are children. And then the publicist also wrote, an issue such as this requires people like Jessica Mass to travel to the darkest places to help rescue and rehabilitate children, some as young as 3 and 4, from the grips of living the hell of sexual slavery. First of all, Vanessa Mass, how did you discover Operation Underground Railroad?
Actually, after I was living in Portland, and then I moved to Zambia and was working over in Africa for a while, and moved back to Utah, which is where our headquarters are, and got introduced to Operation Underground Railroad, and I had worked in anti-human trafficking there in Oregon for a few years and had worked in social work, the social work field, for about 16 years. And so there was a pulling to OUR, and kind of just through friends I found out about them, and they found out about me, and we got to work together.
My goodness. Now, if everybody listening, we're talking about Operation Underground Railroad with my guest, Vanessa Mass, who's director of aftercare with them, and we'll get into that in a little bit. There's a 6-point process of these rescues, and I'll read this quickly. They assess the feasibility of rescue. They research the location, the children, the background of those who are running the sex ring. They design a strategy for rescuing children. And this is a logistical part of the process. As former CIA, Navy SEALs, special agents, etc., they have a unique skill set to make this happen safely, efficiently, and legally. They provide local law enforcement training to support and sustain anti-trafficking operations. Then they take action, recover the children, and arrest, try, and convict the perpetrators. It's an amazing thing that you all do. Jessica Mass, what countries have you visited?
Me personally, I think I've been to 16 countries now, and we operate in about 15 to 16 countries, depending on the situation. But we always go in the front door. We never go through the back door. So what we do first is we build a relationship with the government, and we only come in when we're invited, and we build that partnership. And kind of like what you said, is one of our passions is to be able to empower governments and empower aftercare homes to have the skills and the training that we have, or to share that with them. But it always is a partnership. It's never us coming in and doing it on our own or going rogue, and really building that relationship from operations to with the government to aftercare, so that full circle.
Wow, wow. So more stunning facts about sex trafficking and Operation Underground Railroad, or OUR. By partnering with local law enforcement in countries such as Colombia, Haiti, and India, as well as domestically in the United States, OUR conducts sting operations to arrest traffickers and save children from modern-day slavery. Since its founding, OUR has saved the lives of 653 victims and arrested 275 traffickers. And then Jessica Mast, your bio at Operation Underground Railroad states, Jessica has also been a foster parent for some of the children that OUR team has saved from human trafficking. What were the ages of the children, and what countries were they rescued from, Jessica?
So I actually wasn't a foster parent for kids that OUR has rescued. I was a foster parent for kids here in the U.S. So
okay.
Just, there's a huge problem here in the U.S. and a lot of children that have been trafficked or through severe sexual abuse or neglect or different things like that. So that's who I was a foster parent for. And a lot of the kids that we rescue through OUR, we keep in their country. So we build partnerships with aftercare homes that are already established, that understand their culture, their language, and can really help the children heal through the things that they've been through based on their current way that they've been trafficked.
Wow. So, and it's interesting because, goodness, it was about 7 years ago, I was invited to a meeting, and it was to support a gal that was running for office in Oregon. But the charity that really caught her heart, and I can't even remember the name of it now, but it was fascinating. It was an organization that worked in the United States to help stem the flow of sex trafficking. And I found out that there was a big problem with this on the West Coast. And those of us just in everyday normal life, this is something we don't see or are aware of. And I guess it is a big problem in the United States as well. Is that true?
Absolutely. There's approximately between 100,000 and 300,000 kids in the U.S. that are trafficked. And some of the worst cases that I've seen even are in the U.S. So even with working internationally and all the different areas that struggle with, the three main reasons for trafficking would be poverty, the breakdown of the family and lack of education, and those things exist within our own country as well. You could even look at the breakdown of the family and how that creates a real vulnerability so that kids are at risk for being trafficked. In the U.S., a lot of times it'll look like my boyfriend's my pimp. So somebody who does grooming behaviors where they convince a girl that he really cares about her or he wants to buy her things and then start selling her for sex.
Wow. Wow. It's so horrific. And I did hear an interview that you and the founder of OUR did with Glenn Beck. It was very, very fascinating. And I tell you, some of the stories, the successes make one want to rejoice, but some of the situations that they're rescued out of just makes me about cry. It literally does. And before we get to a couple of the stories, I wanted to ask you, how do you initially find out about these people? I mean, you don't just go to Cambodia and say, I think there's sex trafficking here. So you must have reports from someone and intelligence things like that.
Yes. After we build a relationship with the government and make sure that it's a place where we can operate, we have undercover investigators that go and do everything from surveillance to building the case. Maybe that's building some type of relationship with the trafficker where they start to have rapport or trust built. And a lot of times some of the information will come from the aftercare homes or from different trusted law enforcement that we've built relationships with. So we either do undercover investigations or we're getting information from local partners or sometimes both. And that's how we find the traffickers and that's how we are able to build the case, because it's also really important to us that the children are rescued and the trafficker goes to jail, which means that we have to actually build the case that they're able to prosecute in court so that the trafficker doesn't just get released.
So does OUR also have lawyers that work with them full-time? Does OUR also have lawyers that work with them full-time then to help prosecute these cases?
We do a lot of private contracting with lawyers, or the aftercare home has lawyers that they already have set up. So Sometimes we've helped financially cover the cost of a lawyer, or we have some type of independent contractor that we partner with in country.
Okay.
One of the ways that we've been able to really save on costs is to do independent contractors or to work with other NGOs that are doing the same thing. So we are so passionate about collaboration and working together so that the mission of helping children live in freedom is what stays the main mission. And the more that we work together in unity, the more gets done.
Yes. Oh, great idea. Now, Jessica, we're not just talking about children, which is heinous enough, but we're also talking about babies. And I heard you tell a story about a baby that was sold, and that is not uncommon. Is that correct?
That's true. It's so sad. It's happened here in the U.S. that I've worked with, and it's happened internationally. And if I was to tell stories of some of the worst cases that I've seen, it would bring anyone to tears. And some of the things that they do with babies in order to have them being sold in horrible sexual ways is awful. It's one of the things that I think anyone, once you learn about it and you know that it's real and it's happening to kids, you have to do something. And we all have our different roles and different parts that we play, but we really can have an impact of helping children not live in a world where all they know is sexual slavery.
It's so horrible. Yeah, when I heard you saying that it was parents that had sold a baby that was not years old, but less than a year old, and I can't wrap my mind around that, because babies are the most innocent of all of us, and to me, the natural inclination is to protect a baby, despite of some things in our culture, but this is just so heinous. I just can't even fathom it. And I know that by the end of the show, people are going to want to go to Operation Underground Railroad and see what they can do to help, which was one of the reasons, obviously, I wanted to have you on. We're going to take a quick break here, and I will come back with my guest, Jessica Mass, to wrap up the hour after the break. The TM and Jackson Show is brought to you by Dispatches, the website, found at johnbiver.com. Dispatches is an absolute treasure trove of resources to inform and equip conservatives to fight and win the information war. That's Dispatches at johnbiver.com, sponsor of the TM and Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
The Gang of 405, live on the 405media.com. Join John Grant on the West Coast, Tammy Jackson in Oregon, and Scott Jones in Texas.
Broader America is hip to the game, and they're tired of it.
That is spot on. You guys probably remember, for instance, there was a homeschool Christian family from, was it Germany?
Germany.
That they wouldn't allow to come to the United States.
There's not a single Christian in the Jordanian camps for Syrian refugees.
It seems like the Democrats are hell-bent and will go to the mat to protect any foreigner, any immigrant.
ISIS is, in effect, running the immigration or refugee program for Italy right now because they decide who gets on the boat and goes across the Mediterranean seas. The original and classic Gang of 405. Saturday mornings, live, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
Welcome back for the final segment of the Tammy Jackson Show with my guest, Jessica Mass. If you're just joining the show, Jessica Mass is the Director of Aftercare for Operation Underground Railroad. It's called OUR. It's an organization that exists to rescue children from sex trafficking. Now, we already mentioned the facts that a $150 billion industry, human trafficking, currently enslaves a staggering 27 million people around the world. 2 million of those are children. And Operation Underground Railroad has saved the lives of 653 victims, arrested 275 traffickers since its inception. And Jessica Mass works with aftercare with these kids. We're told some of the stories during the break. Jessica and I talked about a little bit more detail. I don't know how much I even want to talk about on air because it's so horrific. Let me tell you, we're talking about newborn babies that people are using criminally, people. They just found a bunch of them and different things had been done to them, and three of them were found dead. And I'm not even going to go into the details because it's so horrific, but it has to do with the way they use these babies. These are precious little babies, and we've all got to do whatever we can to help. Jessica, let's talk about a story where you get to tell about the hope that there is through an organization like Operation Underground Railroad. I heard you telling Glenn Beck about a girl in India, a 15-year-old girl. Would you tell her story?
Yes, and it's such a blessing to get to work in the aftercare side because there's so much hope and there really is healing, and it takes years sometimes for different girls and boys, but there's hope and there's healing. Otherwise, I don't think we'd be able to do this. But there's this beautiful 15-year-old girl that I met in India that was rescued, and she had been sold by her uncle and was being raped by her uncle and then sold to different people for sex slavery. And when I met her, she was so full of joy and so full of light. And I started to talk to her, and she almost immediately wanted to introduce me to some other people. And these were people that she loved and cared about. And it was actually at a hospice. So her passion that she went on to tell me about was how much she loved to care for other people and serve these people, even as these elderly people were in their very last days. And she introduced me to all of them, and she knew them because she had helped them for so long with their needs. And she went on to tell me that her dream was to work either in hospice or in the medical field. And I saw her go from what she's been through with human trafficking to the hope and the healing and to really caring about people that sometimes get overlooked. We all know what hospice is like, or sometimes if people are lonely or in their last days, where sometimes they're forgotten. And yes, those are the people that she looked into their eyes and said, you're valuable and you're important, because people have looked into her eyes and spoken truth and light into her.
Wow. And she started this journey. Well, we know that her uncle started raping her when she was 12 or 13, and she was rescued at about 16. And you said, I believe in the video, that she couldn't believe that they came to rescue her, and that made all the difference.
Yeah. You know, and I hear this quite a bit from different girls that we work with and boys that we work with, and they say, I never thought anyone would come for me. And she said to me, why would anybody care? I was just out in the middle of nowhere in the village. Why would anybody care? And the message that I get to speak to people is that there's a whole army of people behind you that care. And I speak from the U.S. audience and from an international audience, but there's so many people in the United States that care about you, that are thinking about you or praying for you or just giving and donating their time or their energy to help and support you. So there are all those people here in the U.S. that it means so much to survivors when they hear that there's people that care about them.
Wow. Now, take us through, Jessica Mass, what happens to these kids when you rescue them? So you get them out of this horrible situation, then what happens?
Yeah, so we just had a mission that we just got back from about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And so the operation happens, the police come in and they arrest the traffickers, and then either myself or a social worker from the country, usually it's a combination of both, kind of explain to the girls what happened or that they're safe, make sure that the experience of when they're rescued is as least traumatic as possible, and they get the girls' information or the boys' information and usually go to either an overnight shelter that's already set up or to an aftercare home. We also go straight to medical services as well to make sure that if there's any immediate medical needs that need to be cared for, that we know those right away. And then after they are placed in an aftercare home, that's when the healing really starts, and that's when people that love and care about them really start to pour into them and speak truth into them. There's mental health therapy. There's education. There's vocational training. There's that helping rebuild a life. And then there's also sometimes they've been kidnapped from their family. So there's in-home family evaluations to see if their home is a safe place for them to go back to. And that's kind of the journey of the overall journey of what it looks like after a child's rescued.
Okay. Okay. Now, I want to state this again for everybody listening. The Operation Underground Railroad website is OurRescue.org. Jessica, how can people listening help?
There's so many ways to get involved. And if you go to our website, you'll see ways that you can volunteer. You can do anything from fundraising things that people have done, or such as 5Ks to garage sales. So we had another little girl who she heard about that there are other children living in slavery, and she told her mom, I want to do a lemonade stand. And she did a lemonade stand and raised a couple $100 for wow. helping children live in freedom. So there's so many different ways to get involved. And Tim, our founder, Tim Ballard, and I, we always say that everyone can do something. So whatever your talent is, your gift, whether that's doing a 5K or going down to your local services of where children are being helping through their healing process, maybe it's in your own local community, maybe it's to help support us, but there's so many different ways that people can get involved. And just think about whatever their talent is, whatever your talent is, what is it that you can do? Because everyone can do something.
Wow, to help bring freedom to these kids. That is such a worthwhile thing to do. Jessica Mass, you are doing God's work. I'd like to find out if I could help in some way. So I'm looking at the organization itself to see what I could possibly do. I'll be praying for you all. And thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show. I'd love to have you on again.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you to your audience. I know this is a hard topic to really engage with. So I appreciate it, and I appreciate your time.
You bet. Hey, thanks for listening. The Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 will be back next week with great guests, really great guests, trust me. Until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up, don't be silent, let your voice be heard, because you and I, we have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. Learned to walk in the ways of light and truth, and I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do, and the choir sang. Boy, no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore. And this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence. You can't steal my voice. You can't keep me quiet. I will break the noise. Try to beat me down, tell me to shut my mouth, but there's a time to speak, and the time is now.
can't buy my silence. You can't steal my voice.